right, please be seated. Good to see everybody out with us today. You know, I know for a fact that every single one of us that are gathered together in this room today sure enjoys receiving the blessings from God. Amen? Would you agree with that? We are a group of people that have truly been blessed. And I mean blessed beyond measure. You hear that phrase quite often because the reality is, if you really look at the blessings that you and I receive, there is no way that we can ever really measure that because God is so good to His people. When we think about these blessings, we've been blessed with food upon our table. You know what? Even if we're running a little tight, no matter what, we have a church family that we can go to and say, hey, I'm hungry. I need something to eat. And I assure you, anybody assembled here today would help you if you was hungry. Would you agree with that? Anybody. I'm going directly to Bobby and Teresa's as soon as I leave this service today. Come on. But the reality is, you know what? We have been blessed with food on our table. We've been blessed with shoes on our feet. We have a roof over our heads. We've got transportation to go to wherever we need to be. And if we don't have the transportation, or we're minus some of these things, thank you, God above, that you've given us the resources available. We have people among us that will help us to be able to navigate throughout this life. We have all been blessed this morning with the physical agility and the mental agility to be able to come out to this place of worship, to come to this building where the body of Christ meets, so that you and I together can worship God, and we can do that in spirit and in truth. And you and I can do what the title of the lesson is today, that we can delight ourselves in the Scriptures. Amen? And that's what it's going to be about today. We've all been blessed with our church family. It's nice to know that I have a church family, someone that I can count on, someone that you can count on, someone that will help us get through the trials and the difficulties in life. Absolutely, God is who we should put our reliance on. Amen? But God puts people in your life, and He puts people in mine. So when we see how we're helping each other get through these things, we are members of the body of Christ. We are the tools that the Lord is using to minister to those people that are about us. So every one of us, when Velma's doing something nice for the congregation, yes, she is the tool that God is using. Does that make sense? When Bobby and other people are involved in the works of the church, it's not Bobby and the other people. It's God working through Bobby and the other people. Let's make sure that God is glorified by everything that happens. Amen? All good things, every good thing comes without the variation, a shadow of turning. It comes from above. So these blessings that we're talking about, the blessings that we receive, the blessings of this building, the blessings of our friends, the blessings of our church family, the blessings of our agility, all of these things are excellent gifts from our Father above. I am convinced today that one of the surest ways to continue to bless your own life through Christ Jesus and to bless man is to delight ourselves in the Scriptures. That's correct. One of the surest ways to bless ourselves is by thinking on, Brother Larry, to think about the Scriptures, to meditate on the Scriptures, and feed upon the inspired Word of Almighty God. When I think about the Scriptures, I can't help but to think about a fellow named David. And I think about how King David went through so much, and this was one that was after God's own heart. And I will tell you that David delighted in the Word of God, didn't he? We're going to see throughout the book of Psalms, we're going to look at that a little bit heavy this morning. And when we were in that study on Wednesday night, it took us about a year and a half. I remember Ma said, we've been in this for 7 years now, Jerry. It's time to move forward. But I remember we saw so many things about David and how he was communicating with God and how he delighted in the Word of God. You and I should be doing the same thing today. When I think about the Scriptures, I can't help but to think about David. So let's take a look and see what the Bible says about this over in the book of Psalms, chapter 119. And would you mind going with me to 16 verses? We're going to read verses 1 through 16. All found? God's word says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the, watch this, in the law of the Lord. That's walking in His word. Do you agree with that? All right, so we are to delight ourselves in the Scriptures. Say that with me. We are to delight ourselves in the Scriptures. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies. What? Blessed are those who keep His law. Blessed are those who hold on to His word, who seek Him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. Why? Because the Bible says they walk in, give it to me, His ways or walking in His Word. That's why we should delight ourselves in the Scripture. You have, watch this, commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that we were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all the commandments. I will praise you, God, with the uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will, listen, look at the promise. I will keep your what? I'm going to keep your statutes. I'm going to keep your law. I'm going to hold to your word. I'm going to delight in the Scriptures. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. Go to 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? Look at the question that's being asked. How can a young man cleanse his way? Here's how. By taking heed to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Are we ready for verse 12? All right, the Scripture says, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget, last two words, your word. So did you notice what was going on here? Full submission to the oracles of God. Amen? Full submission to what God's request was of David. He knew where his deliverance would come from. He knew that he only would have happiness. He would only have contentment if he was walking and living in the word of God. David was very clear, crystal clear, when he said to the Lord, I love this, I will not forget your word. David was making it very clear what his intention was. And it was to live by the very oracles of God, to heed to his word, and to live his life according to the holy word of God. I have to go back to the book of Proverbs. I don't have a choice. I have to. The book of Proverbs, chapter 30, down in verse 5, the Scripture says, every word of God is what? So when we look at that passage of Scripture, we can know to purify our hearts, we would need to load our hearts up with the Word of God. Isn't that right? To delight ourselves in the Word of God. Why? Because of the promise that we see right here. And I love that. Every word of God is pure. You can count on it. It's 1,000,000%, isn't it? Isn't it, congregation? All right. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Let's go over and see what Isaiah is talking about over in Isaiah chapter 40. In verse 8. Here's what I love about the Word of God. The Bible says the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God, what does it do? It stands forever. So you can count on it, can't you? We can know that God's Word doesn't change. We can know that God's Word will stand forever. Matter of fact, we will be judged by the Word of God. You agree with that? It is God's word, Tony, that we can live by and know if I'm living my life according to this, I'm going to have a life in heaven with God and the heavenly host. That is awesome. Let's go visit Matthew 24, verse 35. The Scripture says, heaven and earth will pass away. Watch the promise here. Heather, what does the Bible say? But my word will by no means what? It's not leaving, is it, Heather? So that is a blessing that Heather and I both have. We can know and we can count on God's word never changing. How thankful you and I should be today that we can delight in the Scriptures, that we can live in the Scriptures, that we can find joy in the Scriptures, that we can find peace in the Scripture, that we can find hope in the Scriptures, that we can have confidence in the holy inspired word of God. That's what this is talking about, in delighting ourselves in the Scriptures of the Father. There are not many things that's guaranteed upon this earth today. But the Word of God, I promise you, according to the Bible, it's an absolute guarantee. It's there. It's not going away. And we can bet our lives, we can bet our souls on the living Word of God. I am convinced that you and I should certainly be delighting ourselves in God's Word. We should thank God every single day and mean it from the bottom of our hearts, that He is giving us another opportunity to search His Word, study His Word, learn His Word, apply His Word in our lives, so that when the end of time does come, when that promised day of judgment does come your way, we are spiritually and scripturally prepared. Amen? And the reason I'm wanting to bring that out is because there is so much confusion today in the religious world. There's so many people that will stand before a group of people and say, you got to do this, you need to do that, you need to do that, you can't do this, don't do that, but you ought to do this. I don't like that. I want to hear what God says. And if I delight myself in the Scriptures, if I delight myself in the Word of God, then I know firsthand what God expects me to do to get to heaven. Amen? The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, down in verse 27, that there's an appointment that must be met. The Bible says, it is appointed once for man to die, then after this, finish it. Thank you. After this, the judgment. Is that promised? How many of us are going to face Christ on judgment? Thank you, Darlene. Every one of us. Paul re-instructed. Some people say, shouldn't say re-instructed. Well, I'm going to anyway, because he'd already told them before. Now he's telling them again in 2 Corinthians 5:10. He says, for we must all appear, every last one of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Why? To give an account for what we've done. Whether it's good or bad, God knows everything. Amen? So we ought to be delighting ourselves in the Scriptures. Why? Because Hebrews 9:27 said there's a judgment day coming. Are you ready for that day? 2 Corinthians 5:10 says you're going to give an account for what you've done, good or bad. You are going to give an account to God on why you did what you did. And let's go a little further. You're also going to give an account to God why you didn't do what you didn't do. That makes sense? So we know that there's two types of sins, omission and commission. Isn't that right? The number of people in our world today that sadly will pass away, go to their physical graves or go to the crematory, and they will go there lost and away from God because they kept on rejecting and rejecting and rejecting the Word of God. They've been told, they've been begged, they've been pleaded with, they have been encouraged, they have been lifted up. Get off your seats, let's get to be baptized on your confession of faith, let's live an obedient life. But how many people just keep putting that off and putting that off and putting that off? How many folks in my family are doing that? Folks in this building's doing that. I beg you, in the light of the Scriptures, let's delight in the Scripture, let's delight in the Word of God so we can go to heaven together. Amen? But sadly, that's because we got people in our own families, we got people among us, we got people in our communities, we got people at the workplace that's not delighting in the Scriptures. The Scriptures mean something to them on Sunday morning. The Scriptures may be something to fall back on if you're arguing with somebody about something. But brothers and sisters, I'm begging you in the light of the Scriptures to delight yourself in the Word of God. The Word of God invites you to an eternity with Him. The Word of God invites every single one of us to be a partaker, to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ, so that we can all share heaven together. It is God's intention for you and me to reside in heaven for eternity. Not that place of horror, not that place of everlasting destruction. He don't want us to go there. Darlene, if He wanted us to go to hell, He wouldn't have sent Jesus, would He? But we know that He sent Jesus for us. Romans 5:8 talks about it. John 3:16 talks about it. Isaiah chapter 53 talks about it. Matthew 1:21 talks about it. Matthew 1:23 talks about it. All these passages of Scripture that bring to light, that bring to our life the importance of holding to what Jesus says so we can go to heaven. I wonder why so many people today just keep rejecting Jesus Christ. They keep rejecting the invitation of the Lord. I'm not ready. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. In a conversation this past week with a co-worker at the funeral home, this person is so close to becoming a Christian. What scares me to death personally is I love that person. What if that individual's life was required? What if he or she ended up in a car accident? What if something happened, some murderer came in while you're sitting in McDonald's and blows you away? That, you know what, that's graphic, but it's reality, isn't it? Those type things are happening. Are we delighting ourselves in the Scriptures today? Are we today living our lives and finding joy in the Scriptures? So often we talk about the Scriptures as just a book of discipline. Well, then you're not reading the Bible at all. Because the Bible that I read, oh, it shows discipline. It shows the love of God. It also shows the severity of God. It shows me that this God that I worship, the Christ that I serve, is a God, is a jealous God. He's not going to allow me to commit spiritual adultery, is He? All right, so why then should we be in delighting ourselves in the Scriptures? Because it's of soul-saving importance that we do so. Let me give you a couple, two or three points, and I'll let this lesson go to your house. The first point that I want us to examine this morning as we talk about delighting ourselves in the Scriptures is this. I'm convinced that you and I should delight ourselves in the Scriptures because it prepares us for our service to the Lord. Does that make sense? It helps prepare us in our service to the Lord. Everybody in this building has served the Lord in a different capacity. Would you agree with that? We worship the same God, and we worship in spirit and in truth, but we have different capacities. Some in here are song leaders. I'm not. Some people can do this mechanical things that we saw over here. I can't. I can try it. Some people can lead singing. I've told you before, the worst one in the building. But I'll do whatever God wants me to do. I will delight myself in the Scripture. I will do what He wants us to do. There are different roles, different responsibility that people have. Some people in here are leaders, aren't they? Some people can lead while other people can't. Some people are leaders while some are followers. Nothing wrong with that. I've always heard growing up, well, if you're a follower, you're messed up. No, I'm a follower. I follow my Jesus Christ. Amen. I follow good example. If I see someone that is setting a good example and I look at the Bible, I thought, well, that's pretty true. I'm going to hang on to that person a little bit. That doesn't mean that I'm putting my soul in their hand. But if they're living their life to the Bible and I'm struggling a little bit, why not enjoy that good influence? Amen. Why not be partakers of that? We do the same thing. If you want to sit there and say we don't, well, I'll just call you a liar publicly because we do that. We talk about the Apostle Paul and we emulate him, don't we? In the preaching, we talk about Peter. Oh, well, he denied Jesus three times. Boy, he came back. Didn't he? Came back strong. How many of us, have, just like Peter, walked away from Jesus? How many of us, how many times have we denied Jesus in the presence of certain company? How many times have we denied Jesus by a bad attitude? How many times have we denied Jesus when Jesus says, come, make a confession, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and we say, no, I'm not ready. Quit placing your desires above God's desire. Amen. Make sure that we're submitting unto Him. We start today in our relationship with God. And we begin today, sis. Do you hear me? We begin today. Start right here. And we begin our growth pattern. That's what it's all about, Chris. That's exactly what it's about. We're not going to be baptized the next day. We're perfect, are we? We're perfect in God's sight. But that's where it begins. We have a new life in Christ Jesus. And we are to delight ourselves in the Scriptures. Well, what's another word for that? Live in the Scriptures. Find joy in the Scriptures. Delight in that. I delight in my grandchildren. Jerry says, Dad, I wish you loved me and Amy as much as you do the grandchildren. Well, guess what? I delight in my, I love them. But I delight in our grandchildren. I delight in the Bible. I delight in the Word of God. I get excited when it comes to reading the Scripture and then telling you about what I'm finding. Isn't that cool? We should be delighting ourselves in the Holy Word of God. Our very purpose here upon this earth is to honor God. Our purpose here is to glorify our Father by the way that we live our lives. It is by the Scriptures that you and I learn what it is that God expects from His people. I love the Scriptures. Because it prepares me, it equips me, it encourages me, it lifts me up, and it says, Jerry, you can do this as a preacher. You can make this. Don't feel discouraged, be encouraged. Don't feel down, be up. It's, you know, don't feel defeated, feel victorious. Amen? Are y'all getting this? And it's the Word of God that does that. So wherever you're at in your walk with Christ today, maybe you're feeling on the left side of Jesus. Maybe you feel like you're in this field in despair. That's because you've chosen that. I'm not minimizing the circumstances that placed you there, but I'm maximizing the love of God and telling you you don't have to stay there. Amen? You can come out of that. You can come out of that realm of sadness. You can come out of that realm of confusion. You can come out of that realm of, oh, woe is me. And you can start today walking in the Word of God and delighting in the Scriptures, knowing that, you know what, no matter what I've been through in this life, no matter what I will face in the future, I can delight in the Word of God. I can delight in the Scriptures and know that it's my Jesus, my God, that will pull me through that. Or will I just sit here? That we understand the seriousness of not putting God off another day. Let's understand the seriousness of what it means to delight ourselves in the Scripture. Let me tell you why. Because your soul depends on it, and the souls of those about you may depend on it. Somebody's watching your life. If you agree with that, confirm it with an amen. So why not set that great example? Why not do what God is calling us to do? Paul prepared young Timothy for this. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, will you go there? 12 through 17. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, they're going to suffer persecution. Evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you, watch what Paul is telling Timothy. He says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. You have the guarantee. Why does he have the guarantee? Because whose word is it? Thank you, Teresa. It's God's word, knowing from when you've learned them, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through your faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Bible says it is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, watch this, may be complete, thoroughly or thoroughly equipped for how much of the work? Go to chapter. I charge you before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead in his appearing his kingdom. Here's what we have to do, brothers and sisters. Preach the, thank you, Teresa. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with long suffering and teaching. Why? Because the time will come when they won't hear or endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up on themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth, and they'll be turned aside to fables. Paul told Timothy, he said, listen, fellow. He said, you be watchful in all things. He said, endure these afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. He said, fulfill your ministry. What does that mean, Tony? It means do your job. That's right. Do your job. Congregation, fulfill your ministry. Congregation, I encourage you to delight yourselves in the Scriptures. Let's not forget that it was the Holy Word of God that caused this great conversion that we all talk about, this conversion that we love, the Apostle Paul. When you think about the way he was converted, wasn't that cool? That just Teresa and I, the only two things is cool. Bob, the Apostle Paul, when he was converted, isn't it cool the way he was converted? There we go. Ooh, y'all scared me. I thought I got to start all over. The reality is that conversion came about, didn't it? Saul became Paul. Paul was contacted by the Lord himself, and Jesus sent Ananias to get him, said, go get him, baptize him, get him out of here. Well, that wasn't in a negative way. That was a very positive way, wasn't it? And so Paul, he arose and was baptized, and did he go on his way preaching? Yes, he did. So from that point on, we can see that it was the Word of God. It was Christ Jesus. It was God's word that turned his life around. Total conversion. Paul had zeal. He just had some misguided zeal, didn't he? So thankfully today, we can know firsthand what Christ expects of his people. You know what he wants you to do. You know individually what he's requiring you to do. Will you do what we talked about a while ago? Will you just have a seat? Or will you get up? Will you just hear the Scripture? Or will you delight yourselves in the Scriptures? Y'all getting it? So I want to make sure today that we're delighting ourselves in the Word of God. We should all understand that it is God's Word that prepares us for our service to the Lord. Whatever capacity that is, elders, deacons, song leaders, teachers, preachers, custodial, benevolence, house to house, missionaries, whatever it is that you're doing in your service to the Lord, make sure, brothers and sisters, that we're doing it and living by the Word of God. The second point that I want us to examine quickly is this. I'm convinced that we should delight ourselves in the Scriptures because it makes us, y'all ready? It makes us strong in the face of adversity. The Word of God gives us strength as we're facing adversity. None of us like to have enemies in life, but sometimes we do, don't we? May not be something that we did individually that caused someone not to like us or our family, but you rest assured that today there are people that are struggling because of enemies. We need to understand this, that it makes us strong, very strong, as we're facing these things. Head over to Matthew chapter 4 and wait for me there if you don't mind. Matthew chapter 4 and hang out right in that area. So when we talk about delighting in the Scriptures, we're going to do that because it makes us stronger. It gives us strength. We know that it gives us encouragement. None of us want to have enemies in our lives, but sadly many do. So the question is, how am I to act when I'm facing an enemy? How am I to, let's go further, how am I to react when an enemy approaches me? What am I supposed to say when someone hurts me or my family? Am I supposed to just lay down and be a mat that someone can wipe their feet on? Absolutely not. But am I supposed to be rebellious? Am I supposed to be vengeful? If I'm the one that's supposed to say, I'll get them back, even if it's the last thing I do? That's a Jerry Ladd attitude. Please don't possess that. We have to have the attitude of Christ. Amen? We must have the attitude, Larry, of saying, Father, forgive them. We need the attitude of Stephen over in the book of Acts, the latter part of chapter 7, I believe. Yeah, Acts chapter 7, I think. When they were stoning Stephen for proclaiming Jesus. And you remember what he said? Same exact thing, didn't he, Jerry? He said, Lord, don't charge these people with this wrong. When I think about what Stephen was doing there, he was being stoned. He was being beat up. He was being, let's just get to it. Maybe I'm being too easy today. He was being killed for his belief in Christ, wasn't he? He was being murdered because of his love for the Lord and his loyalty and his dedication. And right in the middle of all that, as he was being brutally killed, I would have been probably praying, Jared, saying, Lord, well, cause that one to have a heart attack. Cause him to fall. Cause this one. I'd have been trying to find ways to get out of it. That's not what he did. He did what Christ did. Please don't charge them with this wrong. The Bible, I love what the Scripture says about this. I love this. I just caught it the other day. The Bible says that Stephen, don't say that he died. What does the Bible say? He fell asleep. You know what that shows us, Harvey? When we fall asleep, that means we're normally that means we're at peace. Even though Stephen, Bobby, listen to this. Even though Stephen was being killed, the Bible doesn't say that he was stoned and died. The Bible says that he fell asleep. He was at peace. Was he hurt? Oh, yeah. Physically, was he hurt? Absolutely. He was stoned to death. But he was at peace with Christ. You know why? Because he delighted himself in the Word of God. You and I need to do what Stephen did. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. I'm not going to read this whole thing because but in this passage of Scripture, especially verse 10, we're going to do that one together. But Jesus was led by the Spirit to be tested by the devil, wasn't he? After he had fasted, how many days and nights? Tell me that. 40 days, 40 nights. Afterwards, the Bible says he was hungry. The devil was tempting Jesus, saying, I want you to just fall down and worship me. And then he took him up on a really high pinnacle of the temple, if I may. He says, hey, look around you, Jesus. You see all this? If you'll fall down and worship me, I will give you all that. The devil's crazy. Jesus owned it already, didn't he? But the reality of how Jesus was able to survive this, Jerry, go to number 10. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is, there you go, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve, not yourselves. That's where I get in trouble. The Bible says, in him only shall you serve. You know what my problem's been? I've been serving him, but I've been serving myself. It's all about Jerry. Well, it's not. Him only shall you serve. Are y'all getting this? So it gives us the encouragement to delight ourselves in the Scripture. We all need to remember that our enemy may not be another person. Our enemy may be... All right, everybody look this way. All right, so the enemy may not be another person. The enemy could be myself, ourselves. Amen? So how do we do that? How do we break that relationship? You fire that relationship. You delight yourself in the Scripture. That way you're not your own enemy. Amen? Because if we're trying to live for the devil and trying to live for the Lord at the same time, the church at Laodicea in the book of Revelation, the Lord rebuked them heavily, didn't he? Do you remember what he said? He says, I wish you was hot or cold, but because you're neither hotter nor cold, what does he say? I will what? Good job. Larry, they just took your class on Revelation. I will spew you. I will puke you. I will spit you. I will reject you out of my mouth. Let's be certain that we can be strong in the face of our enemies. Strong doing what God is calling us to do. Strong and equipped because we are delighting ourselves in the Word of God. quickly, Psalm 119, verse 42. I'm convinced that all of us have the desire to be strong in the Lord, or we probably wouldn't be here this very hour. I love what David said in Psalm 119. If we look at verse 42, and then we'll drop down and look at 98, about having an answer for his enemies. Amen? Watch this, 42. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me. We got to have an answer for those who reject us and those who don't like us and all that. And our answer needs to be what? With God, amen? Our answer needs to be we delight ourselves in the Scripture. Go down to 98, if you don't mind. You, through your commandment, make me wiser than who? Than my enemies. Thank you, God. When I delight myself in the Scriptures, what does it do? It makes me stronger. It makes me wiser than what my enemies can do. What does that do? It takes the control of the enemy away, doesn't it? And gives that control back to Jesus. But the key to that is we have to place our reliance upon Him, not on ourselves. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. The third final point is this. We should delight in the Scriptures because the Scriptures guide us to living better lives. Listen, whenever folks have handled correctly the Holy Word of God, and they rightly do what Paul talks about, rightly dividing the Word of God, God's Word leads you and me, listen to me, to a higher standard of living. Do you agree with that? When we live according to the Bible, we have a higher standard of living. Some people say, well, you Christians, y'all seem to look down on people. We're not looking down on anyone. It's the Scriptures that moved us up. It's the Scriptures that took us to a higher plane. We don't have to look down upon people. God will take care of that, won't He? What we are to do is look to people as a brother, as a sister, and as a target. And that target needs to be, I'm starting today praying for you. I'm starting today and I'm going to pray for this person so either he dies or she here he dies or lives in Christ. Don't give up. Amen? We need to be certain that we continue our prayer life for others. But it guides us to a better life. God's Word, it cleanses us. It helps us to cleanse our hearts of the rubbish that the devil, that we let the devil put in our lives from time to time. Psalm 119, 161 through 168. Read that later today. God's great word helps you and me to do this. It helps us to avoid sin. It helps us to be able to discern right from wrong. It helps us to know if it is a sin or is it not. And the reason that it's so important today is because you have too many preachers out there today that's preaching very soft. They're not going to tell the truth because they don't want the building to leave. They don't want the numbers to leave. The sad part is there's a lot of people that are living soft lives because they're being taught in a soft way. Does that make sense? I'm not saying that we are to beat people with 2x4s to get the word across, but we are to explain and to preach the very oracles of Almighty God. If it hurts my feelings, if it hurts your feelings, good. Because the Bible says that. It instructs, it rebukes us, but it changes us, it converts us, and it leads us to that beautiful place called heaven. John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth, because your word is the truth. So if you're looking for a better life, look no further than the Scriptures. Say that with me. If you're looking for a better life, look no further than the Scriptures. Very good. The Scriptures will lead you to a better life here and in a promised eternity with God. We all know there is nothing but nothing any greater than eternity with God and the heavenly host. I'm convinced that you and I could go on and on talking about delighting in the Scriptures. And I know without doubt that Scriptures prepares us for service to the Lord. Scriptures make us strong in the face of our enemies. And the Scriptures guide us to a better life here and an eternity with God. And let me close with this remark. Please know as we close our lesson that the Scriptures also offers comfort for the hurting. Did you get that? The Scriptures offers comfort for those of us that are hurt. It may be a person that hurt you. It may be your past that haunts you. It may be a loved one that you cared about that hurt you. It may be financial. It may be marital. It is no telling what it is, but some people are really hurt in this life. Let the Word of God, let Him bring comfort. His Word will bring comfort if you will read, study, and apply oracles of Almighty God. So this morning, I want you to know that we should delight ourselves in the Scriptures because of this right here. Your faithful obedience to this right here will lead you to salvation. Amen? And I'm going to tell you how real quick. Hear God's Word. Believe. Repent of your sins. Make a confession in the presence of a witness or witnesses that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Live a faithful life unto. And then always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. We've got a responsibility. Maybe today, and we talked about this before, you're a Christian. Been through those steps. You've done those. You were sincere. But maybe we haven't delighted ourselves in the Scriptures. And our daily walk outside the double doors is showing that. Start to show. Start to wear you down. Don't wear yourself down in those that's watching your life. If you need the prayers of the congregation, then let us pray with you, for you, and help you. Do not be ashamed for coming up front asking for prayers of the congregation. Amen? Be ashamed if you didn't.